The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Yeah, that's right. We are back with the Final Fantasy VII Remake podcast here on post-show recaps, crawling through the video game Final Fantasy VII Remake, sometimes one chapter at a time, sometimes like four chapters at a time. Today it's one chapter. We're talking Chapter 8, Budding Bodyguard, which is the introduction properly of one of the main characters of the game, Aerith Gainsborough. I'm Josh Wigler. I'm joined here by Brooklyn Zed. Zed, right off the top, I think we've got to say, like, huge, massive spoiler alert if you've never played the original Final Fantasy VII, because there's going to be no way of not talking about the original Final Fantasy VII as we talk about this chapter, Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Shall we mosey?
That feels like that was written specifically for me.
I was shocked when it happened, because for folks who've played the original game, you know that Cloud says that at the bottom of the Northern Crater at, like, the end of the game as they're going to, you know, face down the doom of the planet. And for Aerith to get to say it here just as they're, like, running around Sector 5,
yeah,
was such a surprise. But I'm glad that that made it in there.
It's perfect. She says to Cloud at one point, shall we mosey, parroting his words from the original game. Easter egg, or for the Final Fantasy VII faithful, or literally just Wiggler bait.
Just you
be
you.
The judge. Hard to say, but we're going to talk about all things Aerith today, specifically her, like, introductory chapter. This is the chapter where you get to play as her. Really, really, really fun. There's a lot going on in it, and I think it's worthy of its own chapter. Next week, we're going to be doing chapter 9 as the podcast as well. Week after that, just programming note, we're going to take that week off. I'm going to be away. So we're going to just put the podcast on ice materia for one week. Brooklyn Zed, you're rocking through FF7 Remake. How's it going so far? How is this chapter for you?
I understand why you picked just the one chapter to play this week, because it is a lot. There's, yeah, you know, like, half a dozen or more side quests to do, and I guess they're optional, but we all know how I play video games, and they're not really optional. I see a little exclamation point, I gotta go do the thing.
Do the thing! Go do the thing!
Even if I'm gonna die multiple times,
yeah,
fighting monsters in a side quest, I'm gonna finish it. But what a treat to, like, finally, I've been, like, waiting and waiting for Aerith to come back to finally get to play as her. And there's this, like, sweet scene at the beginning, that you kind of get pushed into from chapter 7. So I saw it last week before I stopped, and then I watched it again this morning. Because Cloud has crashed through the ceiling of the church, having fallen from the reactor, and he lands in Aerith's flowers inside the old church in the Sector 5 slums. And he feels bad about landing in the flowers.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, I'm sorry.
He doesn't feel good about it. It is no less unrealistic, though, Zed, that Cloud survives this fall by landing in, like, a bed of flowers.
Some flowers, like, fixed it? Yeah, that solved the problem?
No, it didn't. I mean, it was a bed of flowers in the original game, too, but, like, it was, like, ridiculous then. But now that everybody is, like, more, like, realistic
aware
looking.
Aware of the height and stuff. Too.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, but you do see when the chapter begins, like, Cloud is, like, drifting through, like, some sort of, like, dark space, basically, which is, I believe, you know, more or less a replica of how this goes down in the original game. He falls from the great height. He wakes up in the church, and in between, he has one of these moments where what we come to learn in that game is like a version of himself calling out to himself, like to like sort of like remember his true self, like remember what has actually happened to him in his life, like a bit of like a wake up kid kind of thing. And that's happening here where he washes down through black and then he's bathed in white and there's another cloud who's kind of standing over him and like telling him to wake up. But then it has like this like darker twist where Sephiroth is there, which is different.
Cloud's hand is on Cloud's shoulder. And then they like, you pan up and all of a sudden Cloud has become Sephiroth.
Right.
And Cloud's like, who are you? And he's like, I am your everything.
Yeah. Cloud. Yeah. So it's very seductive, very strange.
Yeah, it definitely feels different from the original game, but I also absolutely love it.
Yeah.
It's like so campy and weird to me.
It's very odd, but like Sephiroth is like, oh no, I'm really here in this game. Like, I'm very, like, I know I wasn't super present in Midgar in the original, but like, I'm very here. I'm all over this game. Like, okay. So he shows up, and this is when Cloud meets Aerith, the flower peddler.
Who?
Yeah. That's what he's like, oh, right, the flower peddler.
Yeah.
She's
like, fancy meeting you here again.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Broad strokes, feelings, impressions of Aerith as rendered by FF7 Remake so far, Zed.
I love it because in contrast to, we talked a couple weeks ago about Tifa in this game and how I think Tifa is awesome and really smart and like really empathetic and like strong and a great fighter. But I think the characters in the game kind of treat her a little dumb. And so that's the, I feel like that's sort of the impression that we get is like, come on, Tifa. With Aerith, I feel like she has a lot of dialogue, even when they're just like running around on rooftops or in the fight, where she's like, no, I can handle myself. Like, I'll go first. I'll lead the way. Like, maybe you should follow me. Like, I can, you know, you don't have to, you're my bodyguard, but also I can protect myself. And that gets peppered in like little bits of dialogue that you could miss if you're just like racing through the game.
Yeah. It's great. The dialogue in this is super, super fun.
Yeah.
There's just like a lot of moments where you get a lot from Aerith just in like background stuff. And I think that I've told you before, I can't remember if I've told you on a podcast or off a podcast, but the person who plays Aerith, Brianna White, is a Twitch streamer in addition to other things, in addition to being an actress. And she has posted a lot of great Aerith content, including one video, Zed, of her like watching Aerith in the game for the first time and just like crying hysterically, seeing the character in motion with like her voice on it. She feels so full of life, this character.
Yeah. I mean, as with all the characters, I feel like we get so much more personality, as of course you do when it's voice acted rather than just written. Because they can say so much more, you know, with games 25 years ago, you had these like little blocks of dialogue, but you didn't want people to sit there just reading a video game. You wanted them to play. But here you get to hear them talk as they're moving, which would never really happen in an old game.
Yeah.
So the relationships are like so much more nuanced and filled out.
Yeah. I need to just repeat the point about spoilers at this point, for like the next thing I'm going to say. So if you've not played Final Fantasy VII, the original, this is not a safe space for you. If you don't care, or if you've heard about things that happened in Final Fantasy VII, the original, then you're fine. But if you, are only playing Remake and, you have interest in playing the original stuff and you want to stay unspoiled, first of all, I think that this podcast is just generally not going to be for you because we are just always going to be talking about the original FF7 at this point. But like, get out now because I'm going to say stuff that like was totally unspoiled for Brooklyn Zed as of a few months ago and you were able to encounter on your own and you really do want to encounter this thing on your own for the first time, if that is humanly possible for you.
Yeah, you can't, like, what's about to be discussed cannot be unheard, cannot be unlearned. And if you've made it into 2021 without knowing about it,
It's impressive. You did it.
Yeah, congratulations. You know? Welcome to the club. And now go play Final Fantasy VII. What are you doing here?
Yeah, go play the original. We're going to do it in like we'll say it in like, you know, after I finish this little piece of filibuster, it's going to be done. So the iconic thing from Final Fantasy VII is that Aerith, who I can't stop calling Aerith, she dies.
She is murdered.
She's murdered.
Brutally by Sephiroth with a sword through the back.
She's killed. And so when I say that she's so full of life in this game, it fills me with so much dread because I it makes me so anxious for the day that Final Fantasy VII Remake gets to that iconic moment, which is the end of disc one of the original game. You would think that maybe that could be the end of Remake 2 or Remake 3, maybe, depending on how they pace this out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ready. I'm really not. And it's like
going to be so brutal.
It's the kind of things that I feel like, you know, if they're going to go through with that and like all of its like original detail, but like now like modernized in FF7 Remake mode, I almost like just want FF7 Remake to exist as its own thing and never like progress. Like I don't want to, I actually don't feel that way, but like this is how much this game makes me really, really feel for the Aerith as rendered by Remake. I think she's incredible. I think she's the best character in the game. I love them all, but I think that she's the best one.
Yeah. It's like, it's such an emotional experience, even just in like, you know, polygonal graphic form in a cutscene. And to get to like live with this character so much more in this way, it's going to like hit that much harder if the game does get to that point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be dark.
Yeah.
It's not going to be great. And one of the things that's interesting is like, I feel like you can really only you could really only experience this character like very purely and cleanly the one time. And then like every time afterwards, it's always going to be at least somewhat mournful, right? Like every time afterwards, you're always going to have like emotions wrapped up in the like what's to come for the character or what happens to the character. I feel like that is that has always been like a piece of my experience with her playing like the original FF7, and then that becomes so much more pronounced when you like see her moving, like she moves like a human being instead of just like a super cute 2D, like, or not 2D, but like super deformed little polygonal character. Like hearing her voice, seeing the way she interacts with Cloud, seeing the way she interacts with, as we'll get to, the people of Sector 5 who are all like fawning over her, rightfully, because she's a queen. You know, like it's really powerful. And the question of like, will they get there is a valid one, because much like how George R. R. Martin is never going to finish A Song of Ice and Fire, there are valid concerns that Square will never finish Final Fantasy VII Remake. But at the very least, Zed, it's on the game's mind, because when Cloud wakes up and he has these initial moments with the Flower Peddler, and he's had this, I'm your everything, Cloud, moment with Sephiroth. Cloud, who's been having like sort of like these like flashes, you know, sometimes they're like flashes back to the past, even in this episode, he's gonna like have memories of Tifa and stuff, but in this one you see like snaps of like her hands clasped together. She's seemingly at like the temple of the, or the city of the ancients, rather. I believe you see the holy materia drop.
You see the materia drop, yeah.
You're seeing flashes of her death.
If you've played the, it's not clear if you haven't played the game, I don't think. But if you've played the original game, it's like iconic shots. You know exactly what's happening.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. I was not prepared for that to get brought up. I mean, it makes sense structurally with the way the game is like tackling the Sephiroth stuff and like pushing it so far forward into the Midgar portion of the story. But I was like, not ready.
No one can ever truly be prepared, for any of this. Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, this is an escalation, Zed. We saw like Cloud go to Sector 7 and he sees what looks like the explosion of the plate. And that is a glimpse into the future. But this is like, now he's like seeing the thing, you know, yeah. Like this is the future to see. This is like the thing that he is eyeing.
Yeah, it's, and I don't know that he understands what's happening. I mean, I don't think he does.
It doesn't seem like it, at least on first blush. It doesn't seem like he knows what's going on. It seems like he's like as confused, but and like he like doesn't like acknowledge a lot of it. Like he just like doesn't address it any further. He has like the headache and he moves on, which isn't terribly different from the original Cloud. Like the original Cloud was having like these huge like headaches and stuff too. But this is like the content of the headaches is like meaningfully different. And like whether this is just like Easter egg stuff for FF7 fans or something more is what you have to kind of determine. Probably something more.
Yeah, I would think so. It's kind of got to be. It's a big deal.
But things play out like relatively the same. Like Aerith is like, you know, like needling at Cloud. She's so full of life. He's so drab. So she's just like doing the thing where she just like makes fun of him a lot. Mm-hmm. And she
asks him to be his bodyguard.
Yeah.
To be her bodyguard. And he's like, fine, but it'll cost you.
Yeah.
A lot.
And she goes, okay.
She's like, a lot.
One
huh?
date. One date
ought to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. One day with Aerith is like worth all the riches in Midgar.
Quite a prize.
You know? Yeah. So this happens as in the original, Reno of the Turks walks in.
We get Reno, that Turks music.
Yep. Reno walks in, flashy suit. These could have been Bar Mitzvah style goals as well. He walks in, he's got like the shock red hair, he's got the goggles, he's got the cattle prod, and he's got the posse, and he's got like, he kind of reminds me his, I don't know who the voice actor is, I guess I could look that up, but he kind of reminds me of, do you ever watch the Child's Play movies? You know, like the Chucky doll voice, can you hear that in your head?
I can, I didn't watch those movies, because creepy dolls are not my thing.
Yeah.
But I can hear it, yeah.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me of that actor's name is Brad Dourif. There's no way this is the same guy. But he kind of reminds me of him. Like, there's just sort of like this, like, snide, sneering, like, almost like, there's almost like a Joker quality to him where, like, things are just, like, kind of like he just doesn't take things very seriously. He's sort of just like this, like, trashy punk. You know, I kind of love him, I have to say. Like, the Turks are so problematic because, like, they are terrible. And they're going to say about Rude later, he's not a bad guy. He goes, I'm not a bad guy, I just do bad things. It's like, yeah, but you're also a bad guy. Like,
they
for
literally
sure.
say that the Turks are the professional bad guys of Shinra.
Like, you're definitely a bad guy. Like, you for sure are a bad guy. You guys, like, help bring a plate down on a bunch of people. Like, you can't get out of that. But, like, sometimes the game wants to get you out of that. And it's like, I feel not great about it.
It is a little odd. Like, both of them, you know, because, like, Reno shows up and they get away. And Reno's like, okay, well, that's fine. My partner will take care of it. But then, like, when Rude is, you know, quote unquote, taking care of it, Reno calls him and is like, we got to go deal with something else.
Yeah.
So then Rude leaves. So, like, what are they trying to actually accomplish?
Yeah.
Because they're not trying very hard.
The actor is Quentin Flynn, who I think, is he Metal Gear? Is this right? Is Quentin Flynn? Yeah, Quentin Flynn plays the character Raiden in Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty, which is another video game classic from my youth. And he's playing Reno here. That's hilarious to connect. But yeah, prolific voice actor, Quentin Flynn. And actually the actor who voiced, Reno in Japan tragically passed away, 2 days after the game came out, from cancer. So, that is very sad.
Yeah.
But the legacy lives on. Reno is a wild ride of a character. I think that the game does a pretty good job with him, short of like the trying to make you like them a lot. Like that, I still always feel uncomfortable with. But maybe the tension is part of the point.
Well, because these are people that Aerith has known, Or she's certainly known Rude. Has she known Reno too?
It seems like their relationship here is frostier. If she knows Rude, she doesn't seem to know him terribly well. Or Reno rather, but Rude, mm-hmm. she seems to know decently well.
She definitely does. Cause like later on when they get to the house, Elmira just like casually says like Rude came by.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so
like,
great.
It's not a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. How did you find the Reno fight? You have to fight him in the church.
That one was okay. It was a little like confusing cause you go upstairs and you have to like drop a chandelier by like monkey barring across the ceiling. But then you have to leave a different way than you came in. And so like the mechanics of that part were a little strange. The Dementors show up, but they're not attacking. They like pull Aerith and Cloud away from Reno. So that motivation is confusing to me. And then they protect her from falling through like a piece of broken like railing.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. I'm glad I didn't have to try and drop barrels.
I miss the barrels though, I have to say.
It's something I was never good at in the original.
I have to say, so like you beat Rude, you fight Rude, and then you go through the church and you have to do like you have to like she falls, the whispers are back, like these like Dementor type things, and then like you like crawl across the ceiling. On these, I don't know how you handled these, but these trip me up every time I play the game. It's like you have to first of all, the upper body strength required to like, like monkey bar your way across the ceiling.
And just like hang out up there, like grip strength and like core strength, you know, the whole thing.
It's impressive.
It strains credulity to say the least.
But so much of this does. Look at that sword.
Sure.
But like the directions I feel like are tough. Like the actual like mechanics of it.
Yeah,
like
I keep
getting switched around. So it's just not as whimsical or fun as the barrels of just like dropping barrels on people. They just like choose like, no, we're not gonna be able to make this one work. But also they want to just like keep throwing Dementors our way, because they're back.
Yeah. They're back, but they're not, they don't seem to be attacking anyone, let alone attacking Aerith. They're saving Aerith and they're not doing anything to the bad guys.
Right.
So I don't know what that means.
Did that do anything for you in terms of like your interpretation of those, entities or not really?
I'm just like even more confused about them than I was before. Like, yeah. I guess, I mean, the same way that Reno is like, no, we take her alive. Like, you can't harm a hair on her head. We got to get her, but stop shooting at her. I don't know if the Spectres, I guess, what they're actually called.
Right.
I'm going to keep calling them Dementors.
The Spencers.
They don't want to harm her, but they do seem to want to take her. For someone.
Yes.
Yeah.
But for who is the question?
Yeah.
So you survive that. You get through the church and Reno's like all busted up from fighting Cloud. And so they retreat. And then
like, my partner's got this.
And then you get to rooftops. And my God, I love the rooftops. I love the rooftops
this part's
so
really
much.
Fun. This is where Aerith says, shall we mosey?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we get to cross, which is like a brief thing that you do in the original game. You kind of like run across a few things and jump down, and you can never go back up there. It's like a one way because you got to jump off and you can't climb back up situation.
Yeah.
But it's like elaborate here, like crossing pipes and ladders and planks and climbing things. And kind of like having this great dialogue talking about the Turks as the professional bad guys of Shinra.
Gotta love them, she says. Yeah.
And Aerith says she thought about leaving Midgar once, but like the world felt like too much.
Yeah.
Which is intense.
Yeah, it is. she also makes a lot of jokes about how like maybe they were trying to get the greatest soldier ever, and she's like talking about herself.
Right. Because Cloud makes some comment about how they like always go after the like weaker prey, and then the next time they go after Aerith, she's like, oh, must have been a new breed because they went after the stronger one.
Yeah.
And like, that's very much their dynamic through this whole section. There's like, you know, banter about who's going to lead the way, like who's leaving who behind and like waiting for each other. And Aerith like pretends to lose her balance when she's leading the way, crossing a pipe just to like get Cloud to freak out. Like, it's very playful. Aerith has a lot of like control in the situation, which I really like. For as much as Cloud is like being her bodyguard, it kind of feels like she doesn't really need one.
Yeah.
And more just like she wanted to hang out with him.
She has a really, this is one of the things she says about Midgar. I'm just reading through the transcript right now. She says, when she says she thought about leaving, but she couldn't, and Cloud says, too dangerous, and she says, too much, a whole world bursting with life, maybe more than I could handle, I think, sometimes, even now. People hate the steel sky, the slums, but I don't. How could I? All that passion, all those dreams, flowing and blending together into something greater. A love letter to a city, Zed.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Yeah, there's some really great moments. Like, they, in the original one, like, it is pretty quick, but one of the memorable versions of this scene in the first game is like when she like is like out of breath and like you have to like kind of wait for her to hop across the rooftops, and she's like, don't just like run off without me. And so like there's a moment where that happens here, and Cloud,
she's gotta like jump across a thing, and Cloud is gone, and she's like, excuse me.
Yeah. And you come back and she says, don't just run off on your own, and Cloud goes, that's the word, those are the words of a soldier candidate. And she goes, so petty. It's really, really, really great. Their dynamic is awesome.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's like, he makes fun of her, she makes fun of him. And so it is one of those things where just like, right off the bat, they kind of hit it off.
Yeah. But also like everybody in this game is thirsty for Cloud.
Yes, correct.
Like everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a trap. You know,
except everyone maybe wants Barrett. In. I guess Barrett's not.
He's
like,
not.
Even Wedge a little bit is like, wow, Cloud.
Yeah. Yeah. Barrett's the only one who has resisted Cloud's charms.
He's too cool. He's too cool for everyone.
Every other main character in the game so far has like really got the hots for Cloud.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's hysterical. Simultaneous to all of this is the Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate Intermission chapter, where Yuffie Kisaragi is just coming to town. And you will see her in that game roll into Sector 7 right around the time that Barrett and Tifa are coming back. So you get to see like sort of like the other side of the postmortem on the reactor mission. It's a quick scene, but it's a cool scene. But just in terms of like, where is she in the game for people who do not have a PS5 and won't have one for a while, just to clock it, like that's where Yuffie is right now. This is sort of like start of her chapter is right around
now.
I am
so curious to see how like that fits in, because Wutai is like weirdly so much more prominent in this smaller chapter of the larger Final Fantasy VII story. You know, Yuffie is a complete side character, and like you could never go to Wutai in the original game, which is wild to me because there's so much there. But it's like so present in Remake already that it's like, I'm very curious to see how her being from Wutai impacts her relationships with people and how that fits into the whole story.
I get the sense, Zed, that there's like no way that if they do release further chapters of this game, that there's like no way that Wutai can be optional.
No.
Like, I think you won't be able to bypass Wutai like you can in the original. Like, you will not be able to skip that portion of the game.
Like, in the Sector 5 slums, you pass people who are mentioning Wutai.
Yes.
Like, it's not just that one speech from President Shinra or Heidegger. I don't remember who talks about it.
Right.
You know,
one of
it's
them.
It's something, it's, they're blaming, they're like creating their nationalist, like, uprising, yikes, by having Wutai as an enemy.
Yes.
And it is this like fascist, nationalist, probably racist identity that they're creating against a foreign nation just to like give themselves more power to like run the country the way that they want to and make their profits for themselves.
Yeah.
Not that that's a metaphor for anything.
For nothing.
For absolutely no relation to our lives.
Yeah. I fail to see how this is relevant to the discourse in any way at all. I guess you have to go through like some back alley stuff. So like we're opening up some sections of the game where we're going to have some stuff to do. Where, you know, we're going to be doing a lot of side questing in this chapter. So there's like this whole like shortcut to, cause like Aerith is going to try and get Cloud to the train station to get him back to Sector 7, but the Turks are there. So let's avoid that. Let's go the back way. We'll probably have to fight some monsters. You absolutely have to fight some monsters.
Yeah, of course. Let's stop at the train station vending machine and get Kate Sith's theme.
There you go. You'll get the chance. You'll go back there. Don't worry. It'll open up at some point, but just not right now. But like you have to go through. You have to like open a gate. You have to do some more monkey bars. You have to fight some exploding guys. You got to fight these, what are they, the hedgehog pies that you love so much?
Hedgehog pies. I mean, they're fine until the king is around. Once you got to fight the king, then the other ones get more annoying.
Yeah, that gets tough.
But what is a hedgehog pie? Where did that come from? What does that mean?
So these are all bad guys that you would fight in the original game.
I never knew that they were called that.
Yeah, but they like the graphics have just been like, you know, expanded upon. But like when you look at like the design work, like it is really similar. It's pretty amazing. I guess like not to an enemy, but like many of them are just lifted straight from the original.
Yeah.
So like I have vivid memories of these like little idiots just like hopping up and down, like these tiny little Beavises just trying to like get into your shit. And it's like, okay, yeah, they're horrible little nightmare creatures. So you got to fight all of them. And then you roll into Sector 5 and everything you're talking about, Shinra blaming this on Wu Tai and everybody like having like very charged language about Wu Tai, mm-hmm. and like the cowards, those cowardly Wu Tai, they're coming after us. They're by funding this terrorist group as a way to like circumnavigate the ceasefire. So there is like this sense of like boiling tensions between the people of Midgar and the people of Wu Tai. And Scarlet from the original game, who is the head of weapons development for Shinra, you see her on TV in this scene. So she's making her FF7 remake debut. She's not supremely prominent in this one. She is rather prominent in the intermission chapter.
Interesting.
Yeah, she's a wild character. A lot going on.
Yeah, she seems, even just on the news, she's like very formidable. I mean, the angle that you're looking at her is like you're looking up, so she's looking down at you. She's in this like all red dress that is not at all business appropriate.
I said,
outfit choice.
She's wild. She's got a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot happening there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but of course, you know, Shinra's just going to blame anybody they can other than themselves for the state of the energy crisis,
yeah,
as it were, as we sit in New York where we all got citywide warnings yesterday to turn off our air conditioners in 100-degree heat so that the grid wouldn't go down.
Yeah. You imagine what that's like in Midgar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably very similar.
Yeah.
We're going to need you to unequip your cooling materia.
Right. So that we can continue powering all our big televisions and lights of our, like, corporate towers and stuff.
Yeah. Turn off your air materia. You're going to need to unequip that for the next 48 hours in this blistering heat wave.
Unreal. Yeah.
Unbelievable. You get to, like, walk around Sector 5 and see it through Aerith. There's a shop owner that she knows. She says, I help him out from time to time. It's really fun.
The restaurant guy.
Yeah. There's, what's this kid's name? Oates.
Oates.
Yeah. Where's Hall? Oates is just like hanging on a rooftop. She's like, Aerith, what's going on? And he looks down. He's like, who's this guy? Looking at Cloud. And he's like, oh, that's my friend Cloud. And I think like he just like kind of like stares at you. The angle is so weird. He just stares at you. It's awkwardly long silence. And it goes, well, see you later. And
then he runs away. Like two peas in a pod.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Chatty guy is here.
Oh, no, Chadley is elsewhere. He's nearby.
Chadley
is still hanging.
But then a bunch of other orphans show up, and they're like, "Oh my God, Aerith!" Like she's you know the most popular person in Sector 5. She's going to go to the
people at the Leaf House.
Yeah, the Leaf House, the orphanage.
Yeah.
And we see a doctor, and he's like, "Do you have any herbs?" She's like, not right now.
He's like, Aerith, you got that herb?
But she says to Cloud, since I'm so generous, I gather herbs for him sometimes.
So great. Since I'm so generous. She's so great because, like, you know, like, she is, but she's also just, like, totally down
super
to, like...
Super cheeky about it, yeah.
She's so down to just, like, hype herself up, too. It's so funny. I just love it. She's, like, all that, like, earned confidence is just brilliant. Yeah.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So, like, there's the Leaf House. She takes you back to her house. You get to see, like, the classic Aerith house from the original game and all of its regalia. And it's, like, it's no wonder that everybody, like, wants to hang out with Aerith. Like, she really does, like, it's almost more pronounced in this game that, like, her house stands out from the rest. It's majestic. Like, you round, like, the corner of, like, this, like, tunnel. And you get there, and it is just, like, lavish. There's, like, forget the church with the flowers, like, it's covered in greenery. It's beautiful. Yeah. The game does such a good job making it look so incredible.
It's like a three-story house with sprawling, like a botanic garden amount of like flowers and pathways you can walk through and the waterfall. And then that weird like pen that looks like a rodeo would happen in it where you're going to fight Rude later. A huge estate, basically in the backyard of the orphanage. Which is like a commentary on, I don't know, as I said, you know, in our original Final Fantasy VII podcast, like generational wealth here in Sector 5.
Yeah, it's alive. It's thriving.
Yeah. And the, you know, the woman who runs the orphanage is like, could you bring us some flowers? And she's like, sure.
Yeah, no problem. I've got
as many as you can carry. Yeah. She's like, yeah, you got it. All the flowers.
Yeah. So that's like your next mission. First, you meet Elmira. You meet Aerith's mother. Mm-hmm. She's not a Cloud fan.
She's a very serious woman.
Very serious. You go and you pick flowers. I think before you do, like she like convinces Aerith to not show Cloud the way back to Sector 7 just yet because it'll be night by the time she has to come back, and that's
she's
dangerous.
Like, stay here, stay the night, go in the morning when you have like the whole day. And Aerith's like, okay, but we have a couple hours till dinner, so we can go like do stuff.
So we could do side quests, right?
Of things we cram into pre-dinner time.
Yeah, so you go and you get flowers. You can like pick and choose which. I think there's three flowers you can get. You could also just like get the same flower three times if you just want to like rush through this part. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Did you pick a diverse bouquet?
Yeah, I did one of each because Aerith tells you stories about what kind of flowers they are and what they mean and, you know, like their history and whatever. She's quite the florist, as she says.
Yes. Yeah, he says they're all the same to me. She goes, you sure you want to be saying that to a florist?
Yeah.
So good. She's so funny.
And when you bring them back, the walkthrough says depending on what combination you get, like they make a different design with them on the wall. Although it happened to be that the walkthrough video I was refreshing with this morning got the same design that I did. So I don't know what the other ones are, but they made like a chocobo running through some flowers on the side of the orphanage house.
Gotta love it. Gotta love a chocobo. Mm-hmm. So they do that. They go to the leaf house. And Aerith's like, Cloud's like, I'll wait out here. He's not going to go and hang out at the orphanage. You know, like he's like, you know, he's growing, but he hasn't grown that much yet.
Yeah. Still not really a kid person.
No, not
he's
exactly.
He's not really a people person at all, but like especially not kids.
Yeah. So then Cloud is going to be able to run around and you can kind of just like explore the sector, on your own. Mm-hmm. Any major takeaways from this time is you're kind of just like, you know, free. You have like you have a little bit of time in the afternoon for free.
Yeah, it's cool just to be able to go to the different shops. Found Chadley again.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've unlocked the VR training stuff, although I have not ventured in there yet.
Yeah, you should.
I'm just happy.
It's fun.
I'm always happy to see my boy Chadley.
Yeah, your boy Chadley is hanging out. Cloud, I've developed some new materia. love Chadley.
I
gotta
look forward to getting further research reports.
Yes. I've beaten all of the Chadley stuff, obviously. And so, like, when I run past Chadley now, he says, Cloud, I hope you don't forget about me. Yeah, because, like, that was, like, the last thing. It was like, well, until we meet again, Cloud, I hope you don't forget about me.
What a
and
sweet,
so,
soft boy Chadley is.
That's what he says to me when I walk past. Really, really great. We're in this moment right now, and I don't think that we've talked about this a ton. Like, we didn't talk about this during, like, when we're in Sector 7, and there's, like, sort of, like, the monster highway that you have to clear out. This game so faithfully renders so much from the original, but there are ways in which it, like, breaks away from the original and does its own thing, and one of those ways sometimes can be the music. There are, like, totally original tracks created just for this game. And you hear that in that highway, the monster highway, which I think is one of the worst tracks of the game. It's just very repetitive and doesn't really do anything. But this, I don't know if you picked up on just like sort of like the tune that's like, it's like sort of like twangy guitar, that's playing as you're like toddling around Sector 5. Like, that's not from FF7. It's new. It's got like flourishes of FF7. It has like some of the world map music baked into like a couple of flourishes here and there, but otherwise it's totally its own thing. And there's like an even grander version of the track later on in the game called Hollow that I know a lot of people really like. Nothing to do with what is the song from A Star Is Born that I'm blanking on. Shallow?
Oh, yeah.
It's not the Shallow of FF7, but maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm loving the music of the game. It's, like, so hype. There is a lot of reverence for the original soundtrack. But some of it is just, like, made, like, even more intense, which I really like. Like, throw more heavy guitars in all music. And I'm
in all my
camper.
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah. That makes me pleased. Eventually, you run into Oates. And Oates is like, where's Aerith? Like, at the leaf house, and he just, like, beelines it away from you. You're like, maybe I should follow that guy. And so when you do, you find Oates talking Aerith's ear off. He's like, there's a man in robes who's wandering around. He's scaring my friends, and my friends got lost. And Cloud's like, oh, well, I've encountered a guy like that, as he's having flashbacks to nearly just, like, cleaving this poor dude in Sector 7 in half.
His neighbor.
So Oates will lead you to the no adults allowed secret child hideaway alleyway. Said
it's awesome.
Yeah, the Lost Boys. You know?
You gotta like shimmy your way between like some pallets and some like packing crate, like, you know, what is the word, like storage containers, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
To go find these kids from the orphanage who are like. Aren't they like on a raft, like in the middle of the water? They're like, watch out, the ground is really like, you can't, it's crumbling beneath your feet.
Yeah. I love this part of the game. I love this little area. I love these kids. These kids are hysterical.
Yeah, they're so funny, all practicing their combat moves with their wooden buster swords.
Yeah. It's brilliant. They're like running around. They're just like fighting and playing. But there's two kids that have gone missing. So you have to go and you have to save them. It's pretty straightforward. You just have to like kind of wind your way through a little bit of a grindy section of the game. Mm-hmm. But it's just cool. Like, this is like the other stuff that like, I feel like this helps like make like the, like, I know how into like the realism of like a fantasy setting you are, Zed. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like you get to like really get a sense of the terrain in this game. Like, I don't know for you, like it never registered for me, like sort of like the mountainous quality to Midgar that's like buried beneath the city sort of in the original mm-hmm. game. But like when you step out of Midgar for the first time, like you are like, you're like covered in like sort of like this like grimy, like sort of like mountainous area before like you're out into like the greenery. So it tracks, it makes sense. But it's just like really cool to see. And I think this section highlights it pretty well. Cause like the kids are like lost and sort of like, this like little tiny like forgotten like pool mountainside, like you see like the cliff side, like you see right. like the canyon type stuff. It's pretty dope.
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah,
and they love Cloud, these kids as well.
Everybody does. They all do. They all think he's so cool because he's a soldier, an ex-soldier. Mm-hmm. And they all want to be like him when they grow up, and so they're all like working on their moves with their Buster swords. And the Sephiroth clone, like, shows up, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. This guy does show up after Cloud and Aerith save all of the kids who then just, like, want to be like Cloud. They're like, he was so cool. Did you see how fast he was like, yeah, whoo, yeah.
And they're, like, arguing like, about,
no,
yeah.
No, it's more like, huh, ha. It's like, well, no, it was actually more like, huh.
Is that right, Cloud? Yeah. I'm right. Am I right?
Yeah. The crowd's just walking, and like you as the player can't go fast, so like you really feel it. like they really make you feel Cloud's POV in that. I think is a mm-hmm. genius choice. But yeah, somebody drops to the ground, and I feel like maybe number two is here. Are there flashes in this moment? I don't know if there are. I can't mm-hmm. remember. Yeah,
yeah. Cloud has another flash of Sephiroth, and he asks, yes, Aerith, if she knows who he is.
Yeah.
And Aerith refers to him as a war hero who died 5 years ago, and Cloud says he thinks he's not dead.
Right.
Which is interesting, because I don't think he expresses that opinion in the original game, does he?
No. No, not to my... Not yet, anyway. I think, like, it's not until... until much closer to the end of Midgar, like when it's undeniable that like this is like Sephiroth's body of work, you know, has come back. Like, I think like that's where he starts to be really suspicious, but he certainly has reason to be suspicious a little earlier in this game.
Shenanigans. The game is afoot.
So, yeah, I think that whole piece is rather, compelling. Once again, it's just like this idea of like, there's more going on here than meets the eye. And, you don't really have a lot of time to process it, I think, because maybe it happens first. I can't remember if this is before or after, but Oates, tells you, okay, you guys are both grown-ups, but you're also one of us now. You can come back here and play whenever you want.
Yeah, you're the cool grown-ups. Like, you can hang.
Yeah. Oates becomes, like, kind of like is it Charlie is in charge of the angels, or is it Bosley who gives the missions? I don't know. But he's, like, your dispatcher here in Sector 5. He's like, a lot of people need help. You know, let me know. I can give you some tips on who needs some help.
He's, like, the kid mayor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little boy mayor. And so, like, you have now unlocked a bunch of side quests, and I didn't do any of these in my replay, because I've done them so many times and mm-hmm. I can't do it yet. I have to go back, but I don't have to go that far back. although I did do one, because we had talked about it a little bit last week and I needed to be fresh for Moggy.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hang with Moggy
Yeah, of course.
Little Moggy's one of the lost kids out here in the back, and he's just dressed up as a Moogle.
He's wearing like a furry, like, Moogle costume.
He's got like a little Moogle hat. He's got like a Moogle onesie, Moogle gloves, Moogle boots. And yeah. He's this sweet little boy who like pretends he's a Moogle, and he goes, "You can see me, Koopo?"
Yeah. He calls everybody Koopo, which was not my understanding of, like, I thought Koopo was more like an exclamation.
I think it is. I think that he's just like kind of like seamlessly baking it
just
in.
Just like moved it into his dialogue.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that that's what's going on. So he's just like, "Oh, Cloud, how's it going, Koopo?" You know, like, I think like he's just like doing that kind of thing. This is tremendous. I love Little Moggy.
So random,
it's
but it's
great.
Like such, it's so like real to a kid, like extremely believable that a kid would do this. Just be like, "No, I'm a Moogle and I make all the people happy and you give me Moogle medals and I'll give you cool stuff."
Yeah.
Like big kid energy.
Yeah. Huge kid energy. Tragically, because this like little secret hideaway is like filled with kids all playing together. Nobody is playing with Moggy.
Yeah, well, because he's Moggy's the weird kid in a Moogle onesie.
Being like, no, I'm a Moogle. You know, he probably is fine. He thinks he's, like, looking out for everybody. He's protecting everybody. No one can
see
him.
Running his store, and now he's got all these Moogle medals that people collect, and he can go make people happy with them.
Yeah, no one can see him. He's invisible. He's like, yeah, you can't see a Moogle, so you got to be really, really special if you can see me.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you pick up these Moogle medals along the game and like it's a currency with Moggy and he can give you cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And some of it's like, how did you get that? You're a kid.
Get the gold saucer music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's got like a treasure trove of
stuff.
Yeah.
All these books that gain you skill points for your various characters to improve their weapons.
Yeah, that's important. Like if you're hoping to max everything out, like you're going to need to like get a bunch of these things eventually. Yeah. So that's critical. Mm-hmm. Like you need all of them. So yeah, he's got like some vital stuff. Like if you need to 100% the game, then you need Moggy on your side. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's great. Like doesn't he like has some like cheeky things to say to Cloud and Aerith. I feel like maybe I'm misremembering that.
He probably does.
Yeah, but he's great. It's just like, I don't know what you're, when I told you, like, you'll find out about the Moogle medals next week. I don't know if you thought, like, boy in Moogle costume.
It's top of mind. Yeah, first thing I thought of.
Yeah, Kate Sith is shook.
For my gig.
If they remake the Kate Sith character, Zed, and it's like Reeve is controlling the cat, but Moggy is in the Moogle costume.
Oh, no.
That is an improvement, as far as
is
I'm
it?
Concerned. Yeah,
that's
for
so
sure.
upsetting. They co-opt this kid into the into
no.
The
he
secret
chooses.
Mission?
He chooses. He chooses to go. He's gonna brave the world. He's going to
he's
go
like
out
10
there.
Years old.
Yeah, yeah. But war ages you. Yeah, trying times and stuff.
I don't know if I like that idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. I think it's great. Get Moggy in the party. I'll play as Moggy every time.
Oh God.
Yeah, sleeveless Moogle costume is a look. It's great. It's great. Moggy's the best.
Oh, boy.
I don't remember many of the other side quests. I know there's, like, something that you're doing for, like, a widower, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, there's, like, monsters at his wife's gravesite. And so he's, like, old and in pain all the time. So he can't go fight them. So you go clear out those enemies. And they're called like Venomites or something. And they're another like scorpion looking thing that like can poison you and make you fall asleep. And like, it's a mess. I had to do that one a couple times because then you're like frozen and you can't move. And then you go to your other character, but their ATB bar's not charged up. So you can't do anything to fix it. So like, it's just a constant problem.
Yeah.
But you do that so that the man can go visit his wife. Oh, with a graveyard, you had to buy the graveyard key from Moggy, which
yes.
I did. Before I even went to see that guy, because I was like, this is probably, I probably need this for something.
Yes.
So did that for him. And then you can go get rid of the Toad King for the children. Because he's like, you know, in their space, in their like the back part of their hideout.
He's just
like,
a
our
giant,
hideout's not safe. And it's the Hedgehog
toad.
Pie King.
Yeah.
Who I used assess on him, and it said something about, like, he casts a spell on one of his minions, and that means it's, like, harder to kill the minion, so then that's a problem. I had to do that fight, like, 3 or 4 times. Yeah. It was tough.
Yeah.
He's a challenge, for sure. But once you defeat the Hedgehog Pie King, after they've been jumping on your head and poisoning you and making you fall asleep, that's how you get the nail bat.
Yes.
The one and only, the iconic nail bat.
It's a baseball bat studded in nails. It's great.
The children give you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? They need to be... It's actually interesting because if they decided to make friends with Magi, they might be, like, loaded up with better equipment.
That's probably true.
But because they've chosen to ignore his existence, they're stuck with the nail bat. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they foist the nail bat upon you. It's just a baseball bat covered in nails.
Yeah. Yikes.
It's so dope. One of the best things about being able to, like, replay the game with all your stuff, Zed, with chapter selection, is mm-hmm. when you go back to the very beginning of the game with nail bat equipped.
Just obliterate things.
Well, there's that, but also there's just, like, the sheer comedic value of you restart the game, like, before you select chapter one, make sure you've got the nail bat equipped, and then when Cloud is going to jump off of the train coming into the first reactor mission.
Oh, sure.
He's got the nail bat. He's going to, like, run up to the Shinra building and, like, look up at it, like, that iconic shot. He's got the nail bat. Like,
yeah, it's very funny.
It's very funny to, like, plug the nail bat into serious moments.
Yeah. It's definitely different than the, like, very dramatic, glamorous Buster sword. That, like, the way that the metal is beveled, it catches the light really, really cool in the graphics of this game. A nail bat is a bat made of wood, so the lighting is not...
it's different.
Not quite the same.
Yeah. There's the Angel of the Slums is another mm-hmm. side quest.
This was weird. Yeah, I did this, but like the way that it's presented to you is a reporter is like, can you help me catch this Robin Hood, basically, who's like running around stealing from Shinra and giving to the poor? And I'm like, no. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I don't want to do that at all.
But for some reason, you're like, yeah, okay, we'll go find her calling card. Because she always leaves a calling card saying, I'm coming for your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow she still comes and takes all the stuff.
Yeah.
So you go fight some more monsters. You got to talk to some various people in the town who, like, hear rumors and things. And then you talk to that cool woman whose name I don't remember. It's like Marielle or something.
Yeah, I don't remember either, but I remember
she's cool.
I remember when I was doing the FF7 remake podcast with Kenny that I busted out Rob's Jillian impression.
She does give off that vibe,
she
for sure.
She gives big Jillian from Survivor Gabon
yeah,
energy.
Just like weird, kooky older lady who like knows a lot of random stuff.
Yep.
And you have to go fight this like robot thing with like a wrecking ball arm. And the only way to really beat it, I had to look up what to do because like not a lot was happening when I was hitting the main machine. It's called like a chronomogger or something. When you hit that, nothing really happens, but its wrecking ball arm doesn't even have like an HP gauge. And yet the key is to stagger it by hitting the wrecking ball arm a bunch of times. So that was a process.
Yes, it is. It is a process.
Because that thing can, like, slam down on you and do, like, huge amounts of damage and kind of, like, stalls you out for a second because you have to, like, get back up from the ground. I started to get, finally, like, really good at dodging and just, like, running around
mm-hmm.
a
you
lot. Because you have to.
You have no choice. You have to, yeah.
With these sorts of monsters, you cannot just, like, wail on them because they will incapacitate you temporarily.
Quickly.
And then you're really screwed.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
So we don't unmask the Angel of the Slums. We find her calling card and I guess bring that back to the reporter. And we're like, cool, that's it. Okay, bye.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, well, I'm not giving you any money. And then Jillian mm-hmm. steals 2,000 gil and gives it to you. And she's like, it's not really stealing if you're just taking what you were like supposed to be paid, right?
Yeah.
And we can't forget.
Cloud, have all of this gil.
It was supposed to be yours.
Materia dung.
Materia dung. dung materia.
Yeah.
And then we cannot forget Whack-A-Box.
Whack-A-Box is so much fun. So Whack-A-Box is like this mini game that you unlock because like the kids love you now. The kids are obsessed with you now. Like you are like you. We are grown up, Zed, but we're one of them.
Yeah.
You know, we're one of them now. And Cloud gets permitted to play Whack-A-Box, where you have like it's a timed challenge. You have like a minute, something like that, two minutes maybe. It's like destroy as many boxes as possible. And there's like the easy boxes, the harder boxes, and then the really hard boxes. Like there's like different degrees of boxes as far as like how much pain they can sustain before they break. And you have to get like certain scores in order to unlock certain things. Mm-hmm. And like the easier levels are super easy, and then it gets challenging, really, really hard to like set the proper high scores.
Oh, interesting. I only played it the one time so far, but well, it you seems need, like you, a good
you need
like
to unlock certain
reliever.
Things. Yeah. You know, you need like I don't know if you have triple slash yet.
I do.
Oh, triple slash is my jam. Like I always triple slash, always be triple slashing. Like you need like certain things. Like Braver's not going to get the job done. Like
you need
like certain things. There's probably even better strategies that I'm not remembering, but like you need to have gotten like all of Cloud's skills, I feel like, in order to, and also just like boost his stats up to the point that like he's real strong.
Yeah.
So that like he's doing better stuff. But Whack-A-Box
there
is so
you
fun.
Are just like wailing on stuff,
so it's so satisfying. Extraordinarily
it is,
satisfying.
It is a good time. Yeah,
I think that's the side quest.
And then that's all the side quests. That's like all, you know, like six or seven or eight of them or something. But if you do them all, then that's going to unlock. Well, one of them unlocks a side quest in like chapter 14 or something.
I think that's probably right. Yeah.
And then completing all of them unlocks a little like cutscene with Aerith later that you would not get otherwise.
You'll have to remind me of that. When we get there, because I am blanking on that because I did not
It's just that they go back to the flowers and she talks about like talking to the flowers and them talking to her. And I think there's like an MP up materia you can get hanging out in the garden.
That's not insignificant. Like, you know, that's like she's talking about her power. You know, like she, as we're going to come to find out, right? Like she's an ancient, she's Cetra. She is connected to this planet and the life stream and all that good stuff. So it's like no wonder like the flowers have followed her and that she can speak with them. She talks to the earth.
And we do get like a growth moment from Cloud there, because she's like, I don't know if she like suggests that he try talking to them, but he says something and she's like, did they say anything? And he's like, they said good job today.
Yeah.
And similarly, when he's like helping the kids and he's like, well, I cost a lot of money, you know, you got to pay me to do these jobs. And then I don't remember which like thing it is that they're asking him to do, but he's like, oh well, I actually have a special on that, so it'll be 3 gil.
Yeah.
And you know, he kind of like, he works with the kids a little bit. He doesn't stand so firm in his I only do jobs for money, and it has to be real money, proper, like adult grown up, I can't live on, you know, hugs.
Yep.
Sort of vibe.
Yes.
So we're seeing it, you know, he's growing, he's changing.
He is changing. The sweet boy Cloud is becoming, his heart is opening to the world thanks to his time with Aerith. You have to fight Rude. Mm-hmm. Rude is just like hanging out waiting for you.
Yeah.
Now listen, so what I said about the Turks, like I love the Turks in a way that I shouldn't. You know, they are not good people, but they are so cool. And talking about like fashion goals, Zed,
the suit with the wallet chains,
like here's the thing about Rude. This is a man who goes around with at least two pairs of sunglasses at all times.
Incredible.
Because you beat him up, and like halfway into the fight, his sunglasses break, and he's not even mad, because he has a second pair of sunglasses that
he
proceeds
to put on. He flicks the glass out of the lens that shattered and then puts it in his pocket and puts a new pair of sunglasses on. I was like, that is iconic.
Zed, what the hell am I supposed to do with that? You know, like, where am I supposed to put those feelings?
Yeah, it's incredible. He
what
also
am I supposed
has
to do
this,
about
like,
that?
This deep voice where he talks like this. Like,
yeah.
Like Duke Silver.
Yeah, he is like Duke Silver.
You know, bald with like his ears pierced a bunch of times. And he's fighting with his sunglasses on. And he's wearing his suit. And he's got chains hanging off of his pants. So he's still a little edgy, even though he's all buttoned up.
Yeah, close cropped beard. Like, he looks great. Rude looks great.
Yeah.
And Aerith is even like a rude apologist. You know, it's like, he's not a bad guy. You know, he's actually pretty great. And he's like, yeah, I am. I just do bad things. It's like, all right, well, there are some lines. You are going to, you know, assist in the murder of hundreds, if not thousands of people.
Not great.
That's not great, but you do
and
fight him.
And then he gets to
he's
take off
fight.
In a helicopter.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which also looks very cool.
He rides in style. I do like that there appears to be a fighting pit next to Aerith's house. That's
right.
Just,
like, what is this? Why is this here? They don't have, like, livestock.
No. Maybe
it's
they
just,
did?
It's just, like, a dirt, like, ring. Like I said, like, for a rodeo or something.
Yeah, do they do sports here? Is this where the nail bat originates? Was this, once upon a time, a baseball stadium?
Yeah, there is not a narrative explanation for
this
particular...
The Midgar Zolums? I don't know.
Geographical feature.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's literally just there for that. You're not there for any other reason. But then... Yeah, Reno calls and is like, we got a situation in Sector 7. And a helicopter shows up and drops a rope ladder. And Reno, Rude takes off.
Yeah. So now it's time for dinner. And, like, as Aerith, like, runs upstairs to get some stuff ready, Aerith's mother's like, hey, so definitely leave tonight.
Yeah,
like,
you got to get out tonight. And don't tell Aerith you're leaving and never come back here and never talk to her
again. Yeah, promise to never talk to her again. Yeah, but she like reads him for filth in a way that's like undeniable. She's like, you chose to be a soldier. You chose to pursue power.
Yeah, soldiers traded a normal life for power. Like,
yeah.
You made your choice. So stop acting like you can just like hang out with my daughter.
Yeah, and he's like, fair enough. And so like he kind of like all of that like progress he's made as a character in this chapter like sort of like reverts in a sense, like where he's just like kind of back to like being just like closed up. And like Aerith comes back down the stairs and like she can even like smell the tension in the room. And then you got to sneak out, and this is so annoying. This is so hard to do.
Yeah. So first he has, I don't know if it's while he's sleeping, he has a dream, or if this is just a vision or just a thought, but like, we get that weird scene from the original game of his mom.
Right.
Being like, you should settle down with like an older woman who can take care of you. And I'm like, that is such a weird thing for a parent to say.
It is a really odd thought.
It's like, it makes me so uncomfortable. And they were like, yeah, we're definitely going to put that in the remake of this game.
Yeah, it's back.
She's like, you know, women should be falling all over you because you're a soldier.
Yeah.
Okay, mom.
Yeah.
And then you have to sneak out of the house and like, listen, Elmira, I got a bone to pick with Elmira. Because if she wants me to leave without waking Aerith, clean up your house. Or with all this money that you have, pay somebody else to clean up your house. Because why did I walk out the door and stand there? And before I even move, you know, the game is like, okay, well now sneak out and don't hit anything or you'll wake up Aerith. I took one single step forward and I kicked a bucket.
Sam.
That's in the middle of the floor in the hallway. And Aerith comes out and is like, what are you doing? Go back to bed.
Yeah. I've played this game so many times and I always kick the bucket.
Yeah, because you can't see it.
Yes.
It's right in front of you in the angle that the camera sets up at when you walk out the door. You can't see it on the floor in front of you. So I took one step and the game is like, nope, you messed up.
Yeah.
I did it on the second try, but I was like, this is very silly. Like, I understand it's made to be like a video game sneaking challenge, but like, hey, Elmira, don't leave shit lying all over your house if you want me to leave without making a lot of noise.
If you had messed it up on the second try, you would have had a third try where it's like almost completely empty.
Elmira's like, oh, yeah, I guess I should clean up all this stuff that I left all over the floor I'm sitting downstairs in the kitchen waiting for you.
Someone does clean it up. You leave and you're trying to like go out on your own. Aerith stops you. She's like, no, I'm coming with you. You're not going to get rid of me that easily. And this is effectively like the end of the chapter slash the start of the next one. Mm-hmm. But one thing that does happen here is like, as she's like saying, like, are you ready to go? Like, let's get out of here. He has like another one of like his like moments. Where like he has like this headache and he kind of like tenses up, and I don't think you see anything necessarily, but like it's almost like Aerith's decision to like carry on with Cloud, which we know is a fateful decision, is like resonating within him.
Yeah, it's not until you get basically to like the exit of Sector 5, which I almost ran out by accident a couple of times, and Aerith is like, "Where are you going? My house is this way."
Yeah.
This time when you go that way, Aerith like steps out of a like tunnel and is like, hey, I'm coming with you. Yeah. It is also funny when Cloud is leaving Elmira, this woman. Cloud's like, so how do I get to Sector 7? And she's like, it's easy, just cut through Sector 6.
Yeah, just go through Sector 6, you dummy.
5, 6, 7. Like, thanks a lot. Couldn't have figured that part out myself.
Yeah, but as he tells Aerith, he's like, I don't know sectors, I don't know train stations, I know battlements, I know the war, I know training facilities, that's my world. It's like, shut up, Cloud, come on. Whatever.
We get it, you're cool, whatever.
So that's the end of Chapter 8. I think I told you if you wanted to like push on a little bit into the beginning of Chapter 9, you could. I don't know if you did.
That's totally
fine. So when we pick up next week, we've got like this thing that hopefully we will mostly yada yada through, because Chapter 9 is Wall Market. We're going to Wall Market.
Oh boy.
We're getting into the Don Corneo stuff.
I'm not excited about Don Corneo, but I'm so excited about the lead up to Don
Corneo.
We're getting
the lead up to Don Corneo. We're going to get like a few returning characters, but also like a bunch of new characters. They're going to open up the universe. You are going to go through a really challenging boss fight.
Oh, no.
That is, like, especially difficult on the harder mode. Like, legendarily hard. You are going to have a couple of different, like, branching story opportunities that you won't even know that you had a branching story opportunity, because you can only see one of these story paths on your first playthrough. So there's, like, a lot of, like, diversity to the experience of Chapter 9 that is really, really, really fun. I love this chapter. I really can't wait to talk about like their treatment of the Honeybee Inn stuff with you, and specifically like getting Cloud in the dress so that he can like infiltrate Don Corneo, and the way that the game chose to turn that into a storyline. It's cool. They've got a really great character, Andrea Rodeo, I think is the name of the character who's going to be showing up, who I think that you're gonna have a lot that you're gonna want to talk about there. So I'm really excited. I've been really excited about this chapter for a while, and it'll be fun to talk it through because it'll be our last one that we're going to do for a minute here on the FF7 Remake podcast as we take the week afterwards off. So keep an eye out for that podcast. The Chapter 9 podcast is going to be coming out at the normal time, and then we're going to have 1 week off, and then we'll be back with a bunch of chapters after that. So get hype, Zed. It's coming.
Can't wait. I'm so excited.
It's going to be great. All right. You got questions about FF7? Hit us up. We have answers, maybe, or at least we want to talk to you. You can find us on the internet. I'm at Round Howard. Zed is at Hard Rock Hope. We are also, of course, in the Post Show Recaps Patreon Discord, which you can join at patreon.com/postshowrecaps. It's early on in the month.
It's the start of the month.
So it's the best time. We love it. We love it when people sign up at the start of the month. We're a flourishing community where we're talking about the Final Fantasies and all sorts of other things. We talk about snacks. We talk about games. We talk about movies. We talk about life. We've got a lot of people who are interested in the things that you are interested in. So consider signing up if you can. patreon.com/postshowrecaps. If you want to just hang out in the Final Fantasy only Discord server that Zed is not a part of because of spoilers, that's also an option. That's totally free. You can just hit me up, slide into my DMs. I'll send you a link to the Final Fantasy secret Discord. It's not so secret server that we've had for a little over a year now. Really fun community over there as well. If you're not a part of that and you want to be and you want to see like what Discord's all about, that's a really good, like, just sort of like entry level way to do that. Really fun group of people in that server. I'd be more than happy to send you the link. Just slide in to the DMs. Zed, what else is going on?
I finished the main game of Final Fantasy 14.
Yes.
On Monday.
You got your first round of credits.
I did. When did we start playing? I think it was like our last Final Fantasy 8 podcast. The one we did with Aiden might have been the week that we had started playing.
I think I had like, I was a little bit in at that point, but like right around there.
Yeah.
We as a group started playing.
And this is our fourth Final Fantasy VII Remake podcast. So we've been playing a little over a month, and I am nowhere near the first person to have finished the base game of Final Fantasy 14.
No, you hit like a series of credits. I've hit credits twice now.
Twice?
Because there's like the original A Realm Reborn has like an epilogue section that like is a little grindy, I have to say, but that it builds to a story point that is ridiculous, and was like really, I mean, people's experiences with 14 certainly in our community seem to be like differing by like who's mostly interested in like sort of like the dungeon quality and like the raid quality and stuff like that. I'm really into the story, like that's always my jam. And so like it's really grindy for a lot of the epilogue in 14, and there's some meandering stuff and some ways in which it doesn't feel like the stories are really intersecting. Mm-hmm. There's also one thing that's like very mechanically stupid where like you can miss something that you had to do in order to progress the main story quest very easily. You can go back and fix it, but it's not intuitive at all. And I got very angry one night trying to do that. You'll know it when you get there, potentially, if you like don't just like figure your way through that moment. I'll let you know exactly what to do when you get there. But all of this is to say, like, it's a bit of a sprawl. It's a little bit of a slog, but I was really hyped by the end of A Realm Reborn proper. I'm now in Heaven's Word, and I think I'm probably going to be very early in Heaven's Word for a while because I'm about to go away and I'm not going to have a chance to play the game for a few weeks. So you'll probably get past me relatively soon here.
Well, especially if we're taking a break from Remake, what else am I going to do with my
time? Hey, but that's great because then you can come back and play all the dungeons that I need to catch up on with me. And that's going to be fantastic. It'll be super fun.
If you want to do that too, you can. Just sign up at the $10 level for the Post Show Recaps Patreon. And we dungeon, you know, anytime. Somebody's like, I'm about to do this. Can anybody come help? And all of a sudden you got a squad of folks. So that you don't have to play dungeons with strangers if you don't want to.
It's no exaggeration. Like we in like the patron community, like I feel like somebody is playing Final Fantasy 14 almost all the time. Somebody like probably not like all the time, like 24/7, but relatively close. We've got people all over the world who are playing, whether it's in the US as far as Vietnam, like we've got people who are really in. So yeah, like you can, if you've like ever wanted to play FF14 and you want to like roll with a good crew, we've got the potion. Recaps patron a free company in Eorzea that you can join up with, but yeah, that is for patrons at that $10 level so that we can communicate with each other via our voice chat and everything like that. So you do have to be at that level in order to play with us, but I think it is a more than worthy reason to get a lot of the incredible stuff that you're going to get from the patron experience. Anyway, the cherry on top is you got like a really fun crew to play Final Fantasy with.
We just keep adding more value for the same price. So like, get in while the getting's good. I mean, the getting's always good, but like, come hang out. There's like more and more activities to do with folks every day. And if MMOs scare you, that's okay. Cause like a lot of us had never played one before. And now we're all, you know, getting good at it.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, for me, like getting adjusted to it,
We're making progress.
Progress. We are definitely.
What else can we ask for?
We are efforting towards progress is what we are doing. On top of that, Zed and I and the great Jessica Lise, I remember this time Mole Patrol. We're doing Mole Patrol, the Mole Patrol podcast, talking about season 2 of The Mole, which is on Netflix now, one episode at a time over at Reality TV Rehap Ups. If you want more of Wiggler and Zed with a side order of the incredible Jessica Lise and her ridiculous games that she's putting me and Zed through every single week.
Yeah.
You want to be in on it. It's a really fun podcast. We've recorded them so late at night that I'm like at a really zany point when we do it.
I think we kind of all are.
It's kind of perfect. It's really perfect for the energy. So I'm not complaining.
Loose.
It's great.
We're having a great time. If you want to like come hang out with us having fun, like whether you watch The Mole or not, you absolutely should. It's a great show and a lot of folks have crushed the second season in like a day or two. But if you want to come play along with Josh, you can do that. If you just want to hang out with us, we're having a lot of fun just hanging out, getting to talk to each other again after a year off from the podcast. So come hang out.
Hanging out. All right. We'll be back next week. We're going to be hanging out at Wall Market, Chapter 9, The City That Never Sleeps, coming your way on the Final Fantasy podcast here on Post-Show Recaps. Get hype. We'll talk to you then. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.